Appendix Beth. The Illuminati ciphers, codes and calendars. These following ciphers were found in the home of the lawyer Hans Zwack during a raid by the Bavarian government in 1785. Letters from Weishaupt, signed Spartacus, written in the code and outlining most of the plans of the Illuminati, were also found and led to the suppression of the order, after which it went underground and regrouped. These ciphers are given, curiously without their code names, in Doral's History of Secret Societies, page 227. The purpose of the code names was to make breaking the cipher more difficult. All messages begin in the Zwack cipher, but the fifth word is always Weishaupt or Demole, and the message then switches to whichever of these ciphers is thus indicated. Whenever either of these words, or Zwack, appears again, the system again switches. Breaking the cipher by the usual statistical methods is, therefore, virtually impossible, at least before the invention of the computer. For the uninitiated cipher breaker is confronted with not 26, but 3 times 26, or 78, separate symbols, whose regularity has little to do with the celebrated formula EATOINSHRDLU, etc., for the regularity of the 26 letters. The reader should be reminded that a true code can never be broken, although all ciphers always can be, given enough time and manpower. A cipher has a serial one-to-one correspondence with the alphabet letters of the message being transmitted. A code proper has no such correspondence. Thus, any computer can break the cipher, but only the illuminated can read the code behind the cipher and know what or who the rising Hodge is. In addition, any of the 78 symbols can be replaced by the abbreviation for the corresponding tarot card, thus further befuddling the uninitiated. The tarots are arranged in the sequence Wands, Cups, Swords, Pentacles, Trumps. Thus the first symbol can be replaced by ACW, Ace of Wands, the second by 2W, Two of Wands, and so on, through Cups, Swords, and Pentacles. The last 22 symbols are represented by the 22 Trumps. TF, the Fool, TM, the Magus, THP, the High Priestess, and so forth. Since there are 5 groups in the tarot, the 4 suits and the trumps, and the alphabet is repeated only 3 times, this leaves 2 null sets for transmission of Zen telegrams. "Once you've seen the great vision," Hagbard once said, "you look at everything else in life twice." The Illuminati calendars, finally, are all based on 5 seasons due to the law of fives. The names of the seasons, their meanings, and the Christian equivalents are as follows. Verwirrung, season of chaos, January the 1st to March the 14th. Zweitracht, season of discord, March the 15th to May the 26th. Unordnung, season of confusion, May the 27th to August the 7th. Beamten Herrschaft, season of bureaucracy, August the 8th to October the 19th. Grummet, season of aftermath, October the 20th to December the 31st. Everything is dated from year 1 AM, Anno Mung, which is 4000 BC in the Christian calendar, the year Hung Mung first perceived the sacred cow and achieved illumination. Thus, Hassani Saba founded the Hashishim in 5090 AM. Weishaupt reformed the Illuminati in 5776 AM. And, to take a year in the middle of our novel, 1970 in the Christian calendar is to the Illuminati 5970 AM, just as it is in the calendar used by Royal Arch Masons. The reader can decide for himself whether this fact represents coincidence, complicity, or synchronicity. The Illuminati date for anything is always a higher number than that in any other calendar, since the Jews, and oddly the Scotch Rite Masons, date everything from 240 AM, Confucians from 312 AM, Christians from 4000 AM, Muslims from 4580, etc. Only Bishop Usher, who dated everything from 4004 BC or minus 4 AM, produced an older starting point than the Illuminati. For instance, here are some random dates as they appear on the Illuminati system of reckoning. First Egyptian dynasty, 1100 AM. The Rig Veda written, 2790 AM. First Chao dynasty, 3000 AM. Founding of Rome, 3249 AM. Hassan Sabah illuminated, 5090 AM. Indians discover Columbus, 5492 AM. Pegasus nominated for President of the US, 5968 AM. Returning to the yearly round, each of the five seasons is divided, of course, into 5 months, thus producing a year of 5 times 5, or 25 months. The first 3 months of every season, known as the tri-cycle, each have 15 days, which fits the law of 5, because 1 times 5 equals 5. The last 2 months of each season each have 14 days, which also fits the law of 5s, because 1 plus 4 equals 5. Each season has 73 days because, A, you have to get 73 when you divide 365 by 5. B, 7 plus 3 equals 10, the first multiple of 5 after 5 itself. And C, this corresponds, as Dr. Ignatius pointed out in the novel, to the 73 parts of the Illuminati pyramid, counting the I as a part. The last day of each season is known as I Day and is celebrated in ways too foul to be mentioned in a book such as this, intended for family entertainment. The Mystic 23 appears in the calendar in the following ways. 1. The bicycle has 2 months and the tricycle has 3. 2. The bicycle has 28 days, 2 months of 14 days each, and when you subtract the all-important 5, this leaves again the Mystic 23. 3. When 5 is multiplied by its own first product, 10, the result is 50, and when this in turn is subtracted from the days in a season, 73, the significant 23 once again appears. 4. The tricycle has 45 days. Add 1 for leap year's day and you get 46, exactly 2 times 23. 5. 2 plus 3, of course, equals the all-important 5, the number on which the calendar is based and, even more significant, the number of this proof. As Weishaupt said to Knigger after explaining all this, "Could Aquinas do better?" Actually, the mystic meaning of these numbers is sexual. The male sex cycle is, as tantrists know, 23 days. Add the mystic 5 and you get 28 days, the female cycle. It's that simple. Or is it? The sanctification of the number 5 antedates Atlantis itself and goes back to the intelligent cephalopods who infested Antarctica about 150 million years before humankind appeared on Earth. See H.P. Lovecraft's work of fiction, At the Mountains of Madness, Arkham House, 1968, in which it is suggested that 5 was sacred to these creatures because they had 5 tentacles, or pseudopods. In this connection, the reader might find some food for thought in a conversation which took place between Hagbard Chalene and Joe Malik in the late autumn of 1980. Joe, at the time, had just received the Pulitzer Prize. He was also under investigation by a congressional committee in connection with the same achievement, publication of certain governmental secrets. Five of the senators voted to cite me for contempt, for not revealing my source, Joe said. Three voted against it, so I'll be cited, and the grand jury will draw up an indictment. There's that law of fives again. Are you worried? Hagbard asked, relaxing in one of the heavy leather chairs that were part of Confrontation's new, more ornate offices. Hell no. I can always seek sanctuary in Panama or some place if they convict me, and Peter can keep this operation going. You're not afraid to start a new life as an exile? Joe grinned. At my age, any new experience is an adventure. You're doing fine, Hagbard said. Here's your latest revelation from the A. A. He reached into his pocket and took out a photo of a female infant with six fingers on each hand. Got this from a doctor friend at Johns Hopkins. Joe looked at it and said, So? If we all looked like her, there'd be a law of sixes. Joe stared at him. You mean after all the evidence I collected, the law of fives is an Illuminati put on? You've been letting me delude myself? Not at all. Hagbard was most earnest. The law of fives is perfectly true. Everybody from the Jams to the Dalai Lama agrees on that. But you have to understand it more deeply now, Joe. Correctly formulated, the law is all phenomena are directly or indirectly related to the number five, and this relationship can always be demonstrated given enough ingenuity on the part of the demonstrator. The evil grin flashed. That's the very model of what a true scientific law must always be. A statement about how the human mind relates to the cosmos. We can never make a statement about the cosmos itself, but only about how our senses or our instruments detect it, and about how our codes and languages symbolize it. That's the key to the Einstein-Heisenberg revolution in physics, and to the Buddha's revolution in psychology much earlier. But, Joe protested, everything fits the law. The harder I looked, the more things there were that fit. Exactly, said Hagbard. Think about that. If you need quick transportation to Panama, he added, heading for the door, call Golden Apple Transfers and leave a message.